The following content is intended for people who are blind or Brent impaired.
Engage.
You are listening to the North Carolina Reading Service. I'm Chris Skidmore, and this is Tech Tips. Wouldn't it be nice to have something that could handle your basic computer needs and fit in your pocket? This month, we are talking with David Goldfield of Blazy Technologies about their new BT Speak Pro pocket computer. That's what's coming up this month on Tech Tips. Recently, Florida-based Blazy Technologies launched their newest product, the BT Speak Pro Pocket Computer. This month, we have the first of a two-part interview with David Goldfield of Blazy Technologies about this tiny but mighty computer designed specifically for the blind community. David, I want to thank you for joining me today on Tech Tips. And before we get into talking about the BT Speak Pro, I want to know a little bit about you. Who is David?
Sure. Well, first, thanks for having me on the podcast. It's really great. So who am I? Well, I have been working in the assistive technology field for around 33 years. And interestingly, I started out in the early 1990s working for Blazy Engineering, which is somewhat relevant and connected to what we're talking about because they produced a lot of flagship, their flagship product was the Braille and Speak, and they produced a lot of other products like the Type and Speak and Braille Light, and Braille Blazer, Embosser, products which were not only very popular and well-loved then, but still well-remembered and well used now. There are still people who use some of those early products. Mm-hmm. So I started out working for Blazy Engineering in the 90s, and then for a good amount of time was doing computer training for blind children and adults. Worked for Comcast, which is a media and telecommunications company, doing accessibility testing for their apps and services. And now I've come full circle back working with the Blazies again at this new company called Blazy Technologies.
And we're going to get into Blazy Technologies too. Before we get into that, could you tell us a little bit about Blazy Technologies and how they became interested in serving the VI community?
Blazy Engineering was a company that, as I mentioned, produced the Braille and Speak, which was a very small computer with a Braille keyboard and speech output, along with other products. And the reason why I bring that up again is because Dean Blazy, who was the president of Blazy Engineering, you know, they realized that there really wasn't a modern Braille and Speak replacement for the 21st century. And he and his son, one of his sons, Brian, were talking about that. This was about 4 years ago. And they wondered if it might be possible to adapt a Raspberry Pi, which is a very small computer. Could we adapt a Raspberry Pi and put some specialized software on it and a Braille keyboard on it, and could we make it into a modern Braille and Speak? And the answer is yes, that they could. They worked on this for, as I say, 4 years. I came into the project 2 years ago, so the product was already on its way and the development was maturing. And that's really why Blazy Technologies was formed again, because we wanted to make a Braille and Speak type device that could offer some of the more modern features that people would want.
And for somebody who doesn't know what Raspberry Pi is, could you just give a brief description of that?
It's a very small, inexpensive computer, but there are computers that you can connect all kinds of peripherals to, like keyboards and monitors and a mouse, and they run the Linux operating system, and they can be used for a lot of different types of projects. For those who are interested, it's the CM4 compute module 4 board.
I'm gathering by what you're saying is that the BTSpeak Pro actually uses the Raspberry Pi as its brain?
It does.
Okay.
But you definitely don't have to be very technical to use it. You don't even have to know what a Raspberry Pi is to pick it up and turn it on and start using it.
I do not have any personal experience with a Raspberry Pi, but I've heard great things about them, and I think they are so awesome. You answered my next question by talking about how the BTSpeak Pro came about. What exactly is it? Could you give us a description of it and tell us what it is?
The BTSpeak Pro is a very small, compact computer. We sometimes call it a pocket computer because it literally will fit in most pockets if that's where you want to stow it.
Mm-hmm.
The dimensions are somewhat similar to an iPhone 14 or 15 Pro. So that gives you an idea of how compact it is. It's about 6 inches across, 2.8 inches wide, and about 3/4 of an inch thick. The top surface of the BTSpeak has a Braille keyboard. It's actually an 8-dot keyboard and a space bar. So the top row, you have a typical Perkins-style keyboard from left to right. You have dot 3, dot 2, dot 1, and then 4, 5, and 6. On the bottom row, you have 3 keys. In the middle, you have a larger space key or space bar. And to the left of the space bar, you have dot 7. To the right of the space bar, you have dot 8. And that's what you use to execute your commands and to type documents and do all of the things that you can do with a BTSpeak. It uses speech output, and it has 2 speakers, one on the left, one on the right side. And so it produces speech to allow you to hear what it is you've typed. That is the top surface. The power button is on the right-hand side toward the front. And on the back of the BTSpeak, you have an HDMI port for those who might want to connect a TV or a monitor. You have a USB-C port, and you have a micro SD card slot.
What are the hardware and software specs in it?
As far as the hardware specs, it has 16 gigabytes of storage, and the USB-C port, as far as the hardware, can accommodate thumb drives. You could connect a powered hard drive to it. Obviously, you can charge it into a wall. It does come with an AC wall charger for U.S. Customers. And the micro SD card can accommodate SD cards up to a terabyte if you want to store that much information on there. As far as the software, it's using what's called the Raspberry Pi operating system, which is based on the Linux Debian or Debian distribution known as Bookworm, for those who are interested in that. And that's the software behind the scenes that it's using behind the curtain to make it do what it does.
You're listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service. We are talking with David of Blazy Technologies about the BT Speak Pro. And we just got through talking about the device itself and its hardware and software specs. And now let's get into the good juicy stuff and talk about the key features of the BT Speak Pro and what all can folks do with it.
It really has a lot of features. So when you first turn on your BT Speak, there really are two modes of operation that it comes with. There's the what we now call the traditional mode. You could think of it as basic mode, although it has a lot of features for basic mode. And a second mode that we call desktop mode. But in the traditional mode, you have a variety of applications. Front and center, you have an editor for writing, reading, and editing documents, which is similar in many ways to the editor that was in the original Braille and Speak. There are also a variety of applications that come pre-installed. We have a voice notes recorder, so there is actually a microphone on the device, which I forgot to mention in the beginning of our conversation. So you can actually record and then play back and, of course, delete voice notes if you like. There is a Pandora app for U.S. residents for listening to music from the Pandora service. There is a media player, so you will be able to listen to various types of audio files, WAV or MP3 files that you might have either on the device or on a thumb drive or on a hard drive or on an SD card. And it can play a variety of formats, actually, not just MP3 and WAV, but it can play, you know, Ogg Vorbis and just about any audio format that you can shake a stick at. It will soon have a radio tuner, so you'll be able to listen to a variety of radio stations.
That's awesome.
A little over 47,000, so that should be enough to suit.
I don't know. I don't think that's enough, you know?
Yeah, well, and you know, and in all seriousness, we're able to add more, so if people find one that isn't in there, if we can find it, we can add it.
Because let me tell you, I need my punk polka station.
I'm sure it's on the tuner somewhere. Had I known that in advance, I might have looked that up and we could have checked. But I'm sure it's very likely there. Very likely there.
Awesome.
So we have that. That's just on the basic or traditional mode. Once you go into what we call desktop mode, you're in a full desktop environment with mainstream applications. So, for example, we have two web browsers, Chromium and Firefox.
Okay.
So you can surf the web with those and go on any website that you want. And it uses similar commands to what other screen readers are already using. So I think it'll be easy for people to learn, but it also comes with LibreOffice, which is a free Office suite, and it's totally compatible with Microsoft Office. So that means, you know, you can load your Word files that you might have written in Word or that maybe someone gave to you and that they wrote in Word or Excel. You can load them up in LibreOffice and read them. But you can also write your own documents. And if somebody wants those documents in Word format, you can easily provide those documents in Word format and export them or save them as a Word file.
Okay. And you kind of answered a question I had in my head, and it's completely out of ignorance because I do not use Braille. I do not read Braille. But when someone writes something in Braille in a computerized document and they export it to somebody who, you know, reads text and everything, is the document in text or do they see? I don't even know how to ask the question intelligently. But I think
no, you have. You've asked. I get what you're asking, and we can accommodate this. So if you are using a BT Speak to, you're asking if somebody has a Braille file that mm-hmm. they've translated maybe with Duxbury, we can accommodate both Braille and text files, but we can do more than that. We can translate them and convert them to whatever format you need.
Okay.
So let's say that someone gives you a translated, contracted Braille file that they might have translated on another device. Mm-hmm. Number one, you can load that file in our editor, and our editor can deal with Braille files, and it knows all of the contractions. We have several Braille tables on board, and you can read them. But if you are writing a Braille file with contractions, you can then convert that either as a plain text file or as a Word file or in several other formats, HTML, or just the opposite. You could take a Word file that someone gave you that they wrote on Microsoft Word. They might not know anything about Braille. They might have given you the file on a thumb drive or an SD card. And you can then take that file and, A, you could load it up as it is into LibreOffice and read it with no difficulties at all. But if you wanted to have that as a Braille file with contractions, you could translate that. And the file will be instantly translated into Braille with all of the contractions. We support the newer UEB or United English Braille code. And for people who like the older Braille code, which was prior to UEB or prior to, I think NLS adopted UEB in 2016, mm-hmm. you can convert that to the older Braille code for people who prefer that.
Okay. Awesome. You definitely answered my question, because that was something I always wondered about. You mentioned Pandora earlier. Does it also support maybe Spotify?
Yeah, it doesn't currently support okay. Spotify on the traditional side. Now, you might be able to go on the Spotify website, and if it allows you to play media files, this is true with any website. If you have a website that allows you to play music through the web, mm-hmm. then that will work.
That's okay. So yeah, that would be a good workaround.
Oh sure.
Okay, awesome. Because I know a lot of people use Spotify for their music and podcasts and everything. So that was one of the reasons I wanted to bring it up. We've also talked about the hardware, and I meant to ask this earlier. If someone wants to upgrade or needs to upgrade the computing power or the memory, is that possible?
If they need more storage, mm-hmm. I think the best way is to use an SD card with a lot of storage space, like mm-hmm. a 500 gig okay. or 1 terabyte SD card. That will certainly give you a huge amount of storage, even for MP3 and audio files and documents. That may be more than even what most people need. And of course, if you have a connected to a USB hub, you can use a powered hard drive with, a terabyte or even more, and it should accommodate that.
Okay, cool. So one of the things I noticed on the website is that the BT Speak Pro uses an Orca screen reader and something called DEC Talk. I hope I'm pronouncing that correctly.
Yes.
For someone who probably has never used Orca or been exposed to the DEC Talk, how are those different from, say, JAWS and NVDA and the other screen readers that are out there?
There's a couple of pieces to this. First, we have the speech. Now, at the time that we're having this conversation, there are two separate sets of speech engines that are on the device. One of them is the DeckTalk, as you mentioned, and those voices were generously provided to us by Human Voice LLC. And the other voice that we have is eSpeak, and NVDA actually uses eSpeak as one of its voices.
Okay.
And there are a lot of advantages to eSpeak. It's incredibly responsive. It is multilingual. And it's very clear, not quite as human as the DeckTalk. The DeckTalk is a bit more human, and many people who've used screen readers going back into the 90s and the 2000s and even later may have used the DeckTalk in some form or other. So we have both of those, and very shortly in an upcoming update, we're going to have more voices in addition to those. But at the moment, we have DeckTalk and eSpeak. Now, as far as Orca, that is what you will encounter when you go into desktop mode. It is surprisingly easy to learn because it has a lot of similar commands and concepts that you're already familiar with if you're using a Windows screen reader like JAWS or NVDA or even VoiceOver on the Mac. So while it's not Windows and while it's not Mac, it's not what I would call an alien landscape. You know, it's going to feel very familiar. And believe me, I have been using Windows screen readers for 30 years, and that's what's comfortable for me. And I find that using the desktop and using Orca is very similar. It's not identical, but it has a lot of similarities to the screen readers that I'm already used to. So, for example, on the desktop, you can navigate the desktop with arrow keys, just like you can navigate your Windows desktop, or if you have items on your Mac desktop. And as you move to the items, it reads what those items are. And if I want to access those items, I can press the Enter key. There's something similar to a Start menu that we call the Applications menu. And it's very similar to the Start menu that you're used to in Windows. It has all of your programs and system settings and even the ability to shut down the system if you want. So while it may not be those exact environments, I find that they're very similar enough that it's easy to pick this device up and begin learning it, and you'll find that many of the concepts that you already know will carry over.
DeckDisc is on the North Carolina Reading Service. We are talking with David of Blazy Technologies about the BT Speak Pro, and we've talked a lot about the computing power behind it, the things you can do with it, and it's because it has the connections to be able to connect and pair other devices with it. That is actually what I'd like to, you know, delve into just a little bit. What types of devices can be either connected to or paired with the BT Speak Pro using Bluetooth and the onboard connections?
As you say, it does have Bluetooth. It also has Wi-Fi. And shame on me for not mentioning that when we talked about the specs.
It's all good.
Yeah.
There's no judging here.
That's kind. What that means is that you can connect this to a variety of Bluetooth devices, such as I often do demos with an external speaker that is a Bluetooth speaker. You can use Bluetooth earphones or, you know, Bluetooth headset with it. And, of course, the Wi-Fi means that that's what allows you, A, to be able to go on the internet and do email. And I also should have mentioned that this comes with an email program on the desktop side that a lot of people may have heard of and even use, which is Thunderbird. So you have Bluetooth and Wi-Fi for that. And you can also, if you have an HDMI monitor with a speaker, you should be able to connect it to that and use that as well via the HDMI port. You can also use the USB port to connect USB headphones or earbuds or, again, a speaker. Mm-hmm. So between particularly USB and Wi-Fi, you really do have a lot of connection options.
And please forgive me, did you mention whether or not you could connect a Braille display to it?
You technically can connect a Braille display to it. There are some aspects of the device that are not currently showing up on the Braille display, but we do know about them. We are working on them, and I do anticipate that they will be addressed.
I'll tell you what, how easy is it for someone to start using the BT Speak Pro?
So it's very easy. One of the things that we have on board the device is context-sensitive help. So from anywhere, from our editor or one of our custom applications, you can press H chord. That's the Braille letter H, dots 1, 2, 5 with the space bar, and you'll get help that is based on where you are. You can also go into our options menu with an O chord. You can press H for help, and you can see a list of all of our onboard help files covering the editor, the desktop navigation commands, all of the adjusting speech. You can easily learn the device that way. You also have a getting started guide. And we've been emailing that to every customer who orders it.
Okay.
So the getting started guide is just what it says on the tin. It will tell you how to orient your device, what the ports are, where they are, how to turn it on, how to perform basic navigation commands, and even how to update the device, because we do issue updates on a very regular basis.
Awesome. And in fact, we'll just segue right into it. Speaking of updates,
okay,
what kind of support is offered by Blazy Technologies after someone has purchased a unit?
They can call us at area code 772-214-1616. They can also call if they don't have a BT Speak, if you just have questions about it, you're thinking about buying it, you're wondering, well, will it do this? Will it do that? How do I do this? You can give us a call. So we do provide support over the phone. We also, not surprisingly, provide support by email. You can email us at support@blazie.net, and we're very quick about responding to support queries, even very often on weekends.
Unfortunately, we've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. If you've liked what you've heard so far, be sure to tune in next month for part 2. We'll continue our discussion about the BT Speak Pro and listen to a demo of this pocket-sized computer in action. If you can't wait until then, you can learn more by visiting their website at blazietech.com. And that is spelled BLAZIETECH.com. You can also take it old school and give them a phone call. Their telephone number is area code 772-214-1616. That number again is area code 772-214-1616. We've run out of time for this month's episode of Tech Tips. I hope you've enjoyed it. If there's something you'd like covered in a future episode, send an email to techtipspodcast@gmail.com. I'm Chris Skidmore for the North Carolina Reading Service. Tech Tips is available online by visiting our website at ncreadingservice.org. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind or print impaired. If you have questions or comments about the North Carolina Reading Service, visit us online at ncreadingservice.org or give us a call. Our telephone number is 919-832-5138. That number again, 919-832-5138. Thank you for listening to Tech Tips on the North Carolina Reading Service.